An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. What going to space taught me about ingenuity, determination, and being prepared for anything. Written and read by Chris Hadfield.
To Helena with love. Your confidence, impetus, and endless help made these dreams come true. Introduction. Mission Impossible. The windows of a spaceship casually frame miracles. Every 92 minutes, another sunrise. A layer cake that starts with orange, then a thick wedge of blue, then the richest, darkest icing decorated with stars. The secret patterns of our planet are revealed. Mountains bump up rudely from orderly plains. Forests are green gashes edged with snow. Rivers glint in the sunlight, twisting and turning like silvery worms. Continents splay themselves out whole, surrounded by islands sprinkled across the sea like delicate shards of shattered eggshells. Floating in the airlock before my first spacewalk, I knew I was on the verge of even rarer beauty, to drift outside, fully immersed in the spectacle of the universe, while holding onto a spaceship orbiting Earth at 17,500 miles per hour. It was a moment I'd been dreaming of and working toward most of my life. But poised on the edge of the sublime, I faced a somewhat ridiculous dilemma. How best to get out there? The hatch was small and circular, but with all my tools strapped to my chest and a huge pack of oxygen tanks and electronics strapped into my back, I was square. Square astronaut, round hole. The cinematic moment I'd envisioned when I first became an astronaut, the one where the soundtrack swelled while I elegantly pushed off into the jet-black ink of infinite space, would not be happening. Instead, I'd have to wiggle out awkwardly and patiently, focused less on the magical than on the mundane, trying to avoid snagging my spacesuit or getting snarled in my tether and presenting myself to the universe, trussed up like a roped calf. Gingerly, I pushed myself out head first to see the world in a way only a few dozen humans have, wearing a sturdy jetpack with its own thrusting system and joystick so that if all else failed, I could fire my thrusters, powered by a pressurized tank of nitrogen, and steer back safely. A pinnacle of experience, an unexpected path. Square astronaut, round hole. It's the story of my life, really. Trying to figure out how to get where I want to go when just getting out the door seems impossible. On paper, my career trajectory looks preordained. Engineer, fighter pilot, test pilot, astronaut. Typical path for someone in this line of work, straight as a ruler. But that's not how it really was. There were hairpin curves and dead ends all the way along. I wasn't destined to be an astronaut. I had to turn myself into one. I started when I was 9 years old, and my family was spending the summer at our cottage on Stag Island in Ontario. My dad, an airline pilot, was mostly away flying, but my mom was there, reading in the cool shade of a tall oak whenever she wasn't chasing after the five of us. My older brother Dave and I were in constant motion, water skiing in the mornings, dodging chores, and sneaking off to canoe and swim in the afternoons. We didn't have a television set, but our neighbors did. And very late on the evening of July 20th, 1969, we traipsed across the clearing between our cottages and jammed ourselves into their living room along with just about everybody else on the island. Dave and I perched on the back of a sofa and craned our necks to see the screen. Slowly, methodically, a man descended the leg of a spaceship and carefully stepped onto the surface of the moon. The image was grainy, but I knew exactly what we were seeing. The impossible made possible. The room erupted in amazement. The adults shook hands, the kids yelped and whooped, and somehow we felt as if we were up there with Neil Armstrong, changing the world. Later, walking back to our cottage, I looked up at the moon. It was no longer a distant, unknowable